The 25th of January. A lot to talk about, 14 games. We had some injuries. We had some pretty cool performances. Veet Krejci. Wow. Let's talk about all of it. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Lots to talk about. We'll get to some questions later if we can. It will just depend how long these games take. All right, let's start with the very, very early game. The Paris game, Indiana at San Antonio. San Antonio home game, but in Paris, obviously. The Pacers do bounce back and get the win here. Tyrese Haliburton, a much better performance, 28 points. 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 6 threes. So one of his better performances this season, which is great. Siakam did Siakam things, but he actually had 5 defensive stats and double-digit rebounds. So let's say Siakam plus 15%. So we got a little bit extra on top from him tonight. TJ McConnell, if you streamed him in, had 5 assists and a steal. Nembhard, he's still sort of flirting with 12-team value, 15, 8, and 9 with 3 steals. So that's obviously a very good line, but he won't be this good. Every night, Benedict Mathurin, 13 points. He's still a soft hold. He's really just points. He's a bit up and down, but he's doing enough to be rostered. For San Antonio, bit of a come down from that last game. Wemby, still a solid performance, 20 and 12. 2 steals, 1 block. So very good line, but for Wemby, actually a little bit underwhelming. Harrison Barnes had 25 points. Sure, not interested in that. Too much. Streamer, that's about it. Devin Vassell, who had been playing very well. 6 points on 2 of 8 shooting, so not his night tonight. 2 blocks, 1 steal. Stephon Castle had 17, 6 and 6. Chris Paul, 11 and 8 with a steal and a block. We're holding Paul. We're obviously holding Vassell. Castle is really the question mark here. He's been okay. This game was a bit of a blowout, so he probably got some more run. The second unit just didn't have it going. Jeremy Sochan, only 14 minutes at minus 30. So that's pretty impressive. 2 points, 4 rebounds. So probably his worst game of the year. I'm not going to let this deter me really from saying that he is must roster. I still think he is must roster. Just keep an eye out and see if he gets dropped or not. Yeah. So, rough night for the Spurs, but we move on. We move on. Denver at Minnesota for Timberwolves get the win. Impressive win. We haven't been able to say that a lot about Minnesota this year. 133 to 104. This just wasn't really close. They blew them out early and just held on. For the Nuggets, there's actually not a ton to talk about here. The minutes were down. Jokic, 20 points, 11 assists, 3 rebounds, no defensive stats, missed his only free throw. So he'd had five triple-doubles, I think, in a row. It had to come to an end. It came to an end here. No shifts in value here for me, I don't think. Aaron Gordon did play 25 minutes, so a small increase there. He's rostered anyway, I'm assuming. So, yeah, I'm not really making, as I said, any rash decisions or anything here. Likewise for the Timberwolves. Jaden McDaniels was decent again, 13, 8, and 4 with a steal and a block. So we'll probably say he's got to be rostered at this point. We're ready. Any moment this could come to a screeching halt. But I don't know. I feel like this year his periods of relevance have been longer than in previous years. So maybe he is slowly figuring it out. I'm not convinced yet. But this was another really good performance. Julius Randle even had a good game, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals and a block. Gobert, his best game in a little while, 14 and 14, 4 steals and no blocks. That was a bit weird, but the defensive stats are there, the efficiency's there, the rebounds are there, and he played 30 minutes, so all pretty good here. Mike Conley, 9 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, only 23 minutes. Again, pretty comfortable win, so the minutes are down a bit. I'd probably still be holding Mike Conley. Rob Dillingham played a little bit more because of the blowout. He had 10, 5, and 4 with a steal, but I'm not rushing to grab him anywhere. Boston at Dallas. Boston, they finally get back on track. It was always going to happen, 122 to 107. For the Celtics, they were fully healthy here, so you would expect them to beat this Dallas team. Is there much to talk about? Not really. Derek White was better, 23, 4, and 4. No steals or blocks, which is a little bit of a bummer, but the scoring is nice. He's been very up and down. I just did a player game wrap for Derek White, and I think he's had 3 like 20 point games in the last 5 or something, but 5 of his last 9 have also been single digits. So he's very up and down at the moment. The buy low is probably gone after this one. Maybe you can still buy a little bit low on him. Peyton Pritchard, another rough night, probably a hold, but yeah, up with the upside of what, top 110, top 100 maybe. In certain situations, I think we're fine moving on from him. For Dallas, Clay might be a drop. 26 minutes, 6 points. He was a drop earlier in the season, then he found some form. And since Luka went out, he's just sort of fallen in a heap. So I think he will be better than this. But again, what's his upside? Top 120, top 100, top 80, best case. But I don't think we're getting there. So probably okay moving on from him in 12-team leagues. Dinwiddie had 12 points. He's a hold until Luka is back. Quentin Grimes did something, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. If he was dropped, you could go and add him. We don't know what we're going to get from night to night. That's pretty obvious, but the opportunity will be there until Luka is back. Dan Gafford obviously started here with no Derek Lively again, and he had 19 and 15 with 3 blocks. Very good. His backup, Maxi Kleber, suffered a fractured foot. Anyway, he hurt his foot. He will be out for, we're looking at 6 weeks, I think, minimum. So Gafford gets a bump there, I suppose, if that's possible. He's going to have to play even more. They will go small once Luka's back, and then we just get some more Prosper, Dwight Powell, once he's healthy. Brandon Williams will probably play a little bit. So I don't think there's any news as such or anything we need to do following the Kleber injury. Najee Marshall, when he returns, will probably play some small ball center. So he'd be the only one, but he is probably rostered unless he has been out, so potentially he's been dropped. Go and have a look. Miami at Brooklyn. Miami get the win, 106-97. Certainly not convincing. Kalel Ware-Watch, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 23 minutes. So, yeah, look, not a great matchup against Brooklyn, who are just basically running out any Joe Bloggs from down the street. So I think this is still fine for Ware. Other than the scoring, and he'd been shooting the ball quite well, he had 5 defensive stats, he had 6 rebounds. So, yeah, I'm not doing anything here. He's a pretty clear hold. He is going to be up and down. He's a rookie. So much like we've seen with Nick Richards, much like we've seen with a lot of young centres, Zach Edey was decent again tonight. It's inconsistent, and that's fine. We just learn to live with that. Bam Adebayo was good on the glass in this one, 17 and 16. Hayward Highsmith, why does he keep starting? I don't know. 0 points in 21 minutes. Jovic, talked about him as probably the guy I wanted to target tonight, and he had 17, 6 and 4 with two steals and two blocks. He remains my target, probably ahead of Rozier and Jaime Jaquez. Jaquez wasn't great. Rozier had some points, 16 of them. Duncan Robinson had three threes. So I think if we want to include Robinson in that discussion, I'd probably have Robinson would he? Robinson and Jovic would be tier one, streaming tiers in Miami. Then I'd probably go Rozier, then Jaquez. Robinson obviously has the clearer path to minutes because he's starting. Jovic does more, I think, in across more categories. Do remember, though, Jimmy Butler, his most recent suspension is over. So what are they going to do? Are they going to suspend him again? No idea. Hypothetically, he could come back into the lineup in the next game. It's going to be interesting. I mean, he might actually just come out and try and play in a Chicago jersey or a Phoenix jersey. Who knows what he's going to do? I wouldn't put anything past him. So watch this space. Brooklyn, good luck. Jalen Wilson had 12, 9, and 8 with two steals. That's a 12-team line. Noah Clowney, 13 and 4, two steals and a block. That's a 12-team line. Nick Claxton, 13 and 5, steal and a block. It's a 12-team line. Keon Johnson, 22 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 12-team line. D'Angelo Russell, 22 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 12-team line. But next game, we could have Ben Simmons back. We could have Cam Johnson's probably not back, to be fair. So it's probably Ben Simmons. Dariq Whitehead, I'd love to see him getting more minutes, but it's not happening. So, based on this tonight, all five of those players are 12-team assets. But in the next game, Tyrese Martin might have 20 points. Keon Johnson might have 6. Jalen Wilson might come off the bench and have 3 points, while Zaire Williams starts and has 18 points. We just don't know. So maybe you just pick one and stick to him. So if you want to go with Keon Johnson, just add him and almost forget. Just forget he's on your roster and then look back at the end of the week and you'll probably go, he was fine. Two games were good, two games were bad. I can't really see it. There's no pattern here at all. So it's take a chance and hope for best. The Pelicans at Charlotte. Now, we talked about the fact that Charlotte brought back LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges because they were of the opinion that the Pelicans would want to win. That sort of backfired. Pelicans were pretty bad. Zion returned. He looked good. 28 points, 11 rebounds, a steal and a block. Trey Murphy just couldn't shoot the ball. Other than that, I mean, 16, 4 and 5 with two steals and a block is still very nice. CJ McCollum, he was going to cool off. This is CJ to a T. Jordan Hawkins started with DeJounte Murray out. Now, DeJounte is getting scans, I think, on his finger or something. It sounds like there could be an absence coming up here, and the Pelicans are rapidly heading towards throwing it all in. So I wouldn't be surprised here if DeJounte is ruled out. If that is the case, Jordan Hawkins started tonight. I'm not saying that he will start in the next game. We could get Javonte Green. Brandon Ingram, I suppose, could come back at some point. It doesn't sound like he's close, though. Alvarado had 5 assists, no steals in this one, but 32 minutes, very interesting. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him as a streamer. He's very specific, obviously. Eve Misi had 12 and 8 with a block. which is a little bit disappointing given he was up against Taj Gibson and Musa Diabate. But we hold him. Let's look at the Charlotte. Oh, if the button works. Charlotte, yep. 22 points for Miles Bridges, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He looked fine. No surprise there. LaMelo, he also looked fine. 25, 5, and 7 with 3 steals. Weirdly went 3 of 6 from the free throw line. And I will tell you that Trae Young also weirdly went 5 of 8 from the free throw line. And I know that because I have both of them in a league where I need free throw percentage. So to go a combined 8 of 14 from the free throw line on two guys that are 85% free throw shooters on a Saturday when you've only got two teams playing tomorrow, it hurt. Taj Gibson, look, he did nothing in his start, no surprise. Musa Diabate, 13 rebounds, steal and a block. Mark Williams isn't going to miss time here. This was just a back-to-back thing, so... nothing to see here. If you streamed in Diabate, he did well for you, but you can move on. Nick Smith, 5 points, 1 assist, 23 minutes. Check your waiver wires. I can almost guarantee he will be dropped in leagues tonight. I would not be dropping him. It's pretty clear that he is starting. They just went with a bit more Daquan Jeffries. He was playing well. Micic hit a few shots. So nothing to see here. As far as I'm concerned. All right. Detroit at Orlando. Good win for the Magic. They got their, well, almost their full team back. We'll get to them shortly. We'll start with Detroit. Tobias Harris left the game with a facial injury. No word, I don't think. Let me just double check. But we usually don't get any updates this late at night. No, nothing on him. So we wait and see for Tobias Harris. Who else are we going to look at? Cade, he was very good. 35 points, 11 assists, 2 steals. Has to be an all-star, doesn't he? Surely. And we can't even use that excuse of Detroit suck because they don't. Asar Thompson, very interesting here. 30 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, 1 block. I would say he was the best Thompson tonight, but he wasn't because we will get to amend Thompson shortly. But Asar has to be rostered. Maybe his minutes are pushing up here. Tobias being out helped, but he can do it, obviously. Tim Hardaway, if you need threes, hold on to him or just move on if that's fine as well. Malik Beasley, 18 points, 4 threes. He is a better three-point streamer, I think, than Hardaway, but both are viable. Now to Orlando. We talked about Goga in the pregame show. He did not play. We did not think he would play because he missed shoot around, but he's obviously very close, so I would assume he returns for the next game. Jalen Suggs returned. He played 16 minutes. He didn't do a lot, 8 points, 3 assists. He was on a minutes limit. But he left this game in the fourth quarter with a knee injury. So this is a new injury. He was dealing with a back issue before. So this is a new one. So we are just going to have to keep an eye out to see if this is anything serious. If he is out again, Cole Anthony would be the pickup. He returned. He only played 19 minutes, but he, based on what we've seen, he would be the starter. My hesitation there is that I don't know if they need him starting with Franz and Paolo both playing. They may go with Anthony Black. So just I think both of those guys, if Suggs is out, could have value. And there is a chance Black starts over Cole Anthony because they don't need a shot creator like they did when Franz was out. So, yeah, just keep an eye on things there. As for Paolo and Franz, both were very, very good. Here, Paolo had 32 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Franz had 32 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists. 25 of those points came in the final quarter. So he turned a pretty average night into a very good night. He played 30 minutes, so he's not back to 100% in terms of playing time yet, but I would say he's only 2 games away. Paolo played 40 minutes, so he is clearly back and ready to roll out. Okay, Sacramento at New York. A big, pretty easy win for the Knicks. We will start with the Kings. And let's start with Keegan Murray. 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. This is a great Keegan line. The defense is there. He got some assists. Probably about as good as you're going to get. He's been slightly better the last 2-3 weeks. So that's a good thing. DeMar DeRozan had 18-3-2. Not a great night for him. The scoring is fine, but just didn't do much else. Sabonis had a triple-double. De'Aaron Fox, rough night for him. He was returning? Was he returning? Anyway, I know he was on the injury report. 14 points. Not much else. 2 blocks. So good that he's out there. Shame about the performance. Malik Monk, on the other hand, 31 points, 9 assists, 1 steal, 4 threes. Very good night for him. With all of those, the starters, healthy. Keon Ellis, 17 minutes. He had a steal and a block. He's just a steal streamer at this point. And no one else there tickles my fancy. On to New York. Josh Hart was questionable and, surprise, surprise, he played through it and he had a triple-double, 20 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. And it finally happened. We got a good night from OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. Anunoby had 13 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Bridges, 27 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. So doesn't happen often. Cat only played 28 minutes here, which is probably a good thing. 18 points, 15 rebounds. So the numbers are fine, but in terms of just managing his injuries and when they're all healthy, we don't really need to talk about the bench because they just don't play enough. On to the next game, which was probably the game of the night. Yeah, I think it probably was. The Detroit-Orlando game was good, but I think this one was better. Houston, 135 over Cleveland, 131. Let's start with Amen Thompson. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. I guess 7 of 10 from the line if you're looking for a negative, but even for Amen, that's pretty good. 8 of 10 would have been better. 80% on high volume is better than 70%. But 41 minutes, he's incredible. So when Jabari Smith returns, who knows what we're going to get. But tonight was very, very, very good. Dylan Brooks had 13 points, 2 steals. He's just a streamer. Şengün, Van Fleet, Jalen Green, all productive here, which somewhat surprising given they were against Cleveland, but great to see. Tari Eason, quiet night for him. He had a steal and a block. 22 minutes. I think he's still a hold. They just went with the starters here and they were playing very well. So, that's fine. I would hold Eason. Whitmore only played 10 minutes. He left with an illness. So if you picked him up, I'd probably hold him. My opinion wouldn't change based on this because it was just an illness, which theoretically means he may only miss one game. For the Cavs, Strus had his best game in a while, 14-9 with 2 threes. He is still just a streamer, though. I don't see him as a must-add player. Mobley and Jarrett Allen both struggled here against Houston. Still, obviously, must roster. There's no debate there. But buy low on Jarrett Allen, probably an opportunity to do that now. On Mobley, maybe. He's obviously only just come back from an injury, so I'm not sure people are going to not give up on him, but they're not going to go, I need to offload Mobley now. They're going to give him a couple of games. Common sense would say that anyway. Donovan Mitchell had 33 points. Darius Garland had 39. So strong performances from them. George Niang, if you streamed him in for threes, you got 7 of them. 6 of them, sorry. But nothing more than a one-time thing. You stream him, you move on. Unless there's a favourable schedule and he fits in, and then you can hold him. But, nothing long-term at all. All right, Toronto at Atlanta. Bad loss for the Hawks at home. I tell you, man, the Hawks, they are... I don't know if they're the most frustrating team. They're up there, though. When they're good, they're so good. But when they're bad, man, they are bad. Some of their turnovers were like under 12s stuff. It was pretty frustrating to watch as a, not even a Hawks fan, just as a neutral fan. It was pretty depressing. We'll start with Toronto, though. Scotty Barnes, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Very nice two-way performance for him. RJ Barrett had 23 and 8. 2 of 4 from the line. We expect that from him. Jakob Poeltl, 9 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block. So a little bit passive offensively, but everything else is fine. Grady Dick, only 6 points here in his 14 minutes. I've already been asked by 2 people, is he a drop? He's pretty close. In a standard league, I think he is, because they're giving more minutes to Bruce Brown. Chris Boucher, he's very up and down, but fine to stream in. Jamal Shedd, I think, looks good as a backup point guard option, so they're trying to get some minutes into him. Now, this could change if we get to the trade deadline and Bruce Brown is moved, which could happen. I don't know when we're going to see Emmanuel quickly. So Dick may become an add at some point later in the season, but I think for now, based on just what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I think he's okay to move on from. Atlanta. Okay. Do I want to start with Veet? No, I don't. I don't. Onyeka Okongwu started. Again, I think this is, he's just set now for the rest of the season. 19, 8 and 5, 4 steals, 1 block. He looks very good. We've been wanting this for about 2 years. We're finally getting it. Great to see. Larry Nance started. So this is very interesting. Only 4 points with 4 rebounds. So the numbers not great. He will normally get you a steal or a block or one of each. He will shoot better than 20%. He'll probably give you a 3. So I think the minutes will go up a little bit here. Obviously, this is completely dependent on Jalen Johnson. We don't have an update on him. We have an update that they are seeking or further scans are coming, that sort of thing. To me, this is not good news. I did put something on Twitter. This would tell me that they've had scans. These players get scans straight away, pretty much. So there's no reason that he wouldn't have had some imaging or scanning done. The outcome here is obviously, I think, they are contemplating surgery. So they're probably seeking a second opinion to see whether this is something he can play through. And you can play through a shoulder injury. I've seen it here in Australia. I've seen it in the NBA. It can be managed. So they are probably looking at, does this require surgery? And if so, do we get surgery on both of his shoulders? Because he had the other shoulder was probably destined for some kind of surgery at the end of the season. So they're probably weighing up their options here. Do we just rule him out for the season, get both shoulders done and have him ready to go next year? So they're probably looking for opinions, or they are, the results of the scans are sort of not indifferent, but a little uncertain, a little unclear. So they're just going to get some extra imaging done to determine the exact nature of the injury. There could be some swelling there as well, which could be impacting. When I did my ACL, I mean, I'm not an NBA player, so I have to wait for the hospital system and stuff like that. But I went and saw the surgeon. It was pretty soon after the injury. Maybe it was days, so a couple of days. And he basically said my knee was way too swollen and I couldn't get surgery on it. I got imaging, but they couldn't do surgery on it for about 5 weeks because of how badly it was done and the swelling. So they had to wait for that all to subside. So yeah, we will see what happens with Jalen Johnson. But if he is out, Larry Nance, I didn't think they'd start him at the 4, but they did. So I think we have to just add him and try and get ahead of this. Trae Young, pretty passive, didn't shoot the ball well, 4 assists, 11 turnovers. So this was just a really bad offensive night for the Hawks. He still had 16 points. So, yeah, rough night. Dyson Daniels, on the other hand, 13 points, shot the ball well, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. As you know, I have him on a lot of teams. In one of my leagues, a guy that I'm against has him, and that was very frustrating today. I wondered why he was ahead of me in steals, and then I realized that his team is called, I think it's called Great Barrier Thieves. So I don't know whether he's got another Aussie on his team. I'd have to have a look, but then it sort of clicked that he had Dyson. And Vic Krejci, let's talk about him. 35 minutes, 20.7 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 6 threes. I think he hit his first 4 threes of the game. Look, again, with Jalen Johnson out, with Zachary Risacher out, Bogdanovic is very inconsistent at the moment. Vic is just doing stuff, so I think we have to add him. Believe it or not, we've reached that point of the season where Vic Krejci is an ad. As for Clint Capela, 5 points, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes. This is not a good sign. A little bit of this was matchup based, I think, so he will be better than this. I would probably hold him, but we could reach a point where he becomes more of a streamer or a deeper league target. All right, that was a lot of time on Atlanta. Utah, I mean, we've still got 5 games. Utah at Memphis. Look, a little bit like the Nets with the Jazz here. We just don't know what we're going to get from one night to the next. Markkanen had 11 and 6 with a block, but he might not play the next game. Mikhailuk, I've talked about him as a night. He's being a nice 3-point streamer whenever he starts. Walker Kessler did his thing, 11 and 10 with 2 steals and a block, but 29 minutes, that's a lot for a young guy. He might have to rest the next game. Collier started over Keontae George, so what the hell are they doing here? I don't know. He had 8 assists, 2 steals. If we could guarantee 30 minutes a night, he's a hold, he's a must add, but we just can't. Why did they make this move? I don't know. Sexton started. He had 20 points, 4 assists. So a decent night. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he still put up numbers. George came off the bench and wasn't great. 8 points, 7 assists. But in the next game, who knows? Maybe they move. Maybe they're doing a 3-guard rotation here. So maybe in the next game we get Keontae George and Isaiah Collier starting with Sexton coming off the bench. So I think we have to just hold all three and see if we can figure out a pattern here. Sensabaugh did nothing. That was great. I had him active in one league. But he might play 26 minutes in the next game and get you 20 points. Who knows? So, as I said, much like Brooklyn, really hard to know who to target here. For Memphis, touched on Zach Edey, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals. Fantastic. If we were getting this every night, he would obviously be a must roster player, but his minutes were down in the mid to high teens, and then he's shot up here and could go back down in the next game. Very hard to know what to expect. Jalen Wells is doing enough to be held as a points guy. Ja Morant, he didn't look great in this one. 7 assists and a steal. Pretty underwhelming from him. I know he hasn't really been able to build any momentum this season because of injuries and illness and things like that. But, yeah, he's been pretty disappointing, I would say, whereas Jaren Jackson has been unbelievable. He only got 3 rebounds. I'm not sure how that's possible. But 28 points, 2 blocks and a steal. Great. GG Jackson. Okay. 24 minutes, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. We know that he can be a 12-team asset, but he's competing with Luke Kennard, Scottie Pippen, John Conchar played 16 minutes in this one. We've got Jake LaRavia to come back, Santi Aldama to come back. Marcus Smart, I assume, is coming back at some point. God knows what's happening with him. So if you want to take a flyer on Jackson, go ahead. But I wouldn't be convinced that he is going to lead the bench in playing time on sort of every night. Scottie Pippen, 19 minutes. He's probably a drop because Ja Morant is healthy. Luke Kennard, Only 4 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. I'd probably hold him, but again, it's going to get very congested here in Memphis, I think. All right, Philly at Chicago. Good win for the Sixers. No Joel Embiid. Do we even need to say that anymore? I don't think we do. Paul George played 13 minutes and then left with a pinky finger injury, so he will be sent for scans. Keep an eye out here. If it's a fracture or something, he could miss some time, which, I mean, Kelly Oubre is rostered everywhere, but he would just become a hold for even more leagues, I suppose. Yabusele, 6 points, 6 rebounds. Not his best night, but as long as Drummond and Embiid are out, we are holding Yabusele. Eric Gordon is a 3-point streamer. And then it's good luck. Reggie Jackson, for some reason, played 15 minutes. He had 12 points. We're not adding him. I still think Justin Edwards is probably our target. He had 3 steals and 3 points, but he played 29 minutes. So if we're looking purely at opportunity, it is Justin Edwards there, based on the current roster construction. For the Bulls, it was a rough night. For the Bulls, not really much to talk about. Patrick Williams, what has he ever done for me or done to me? Nothing. How this guy is starting for an NBA team, I have no idea. 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, get anyone in there. Get Dosunmu in there. Get Buzelis would be the obvious choice, but the Bulls continue to think that they're good enough to make the playoffs and whatever, so I just don't think it's going to happen. As soon as it clicks and they do start Buzelis, then I think we'll be good to go, but I don't know if we get to that point this season. Josh Giddey had 10 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Poor shooting night, but the assists and rebounds are what sort of keeps his value afloat. Lonzo Ball, 24 minutes. Dosunmu, 28. Lonzo had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 threes. So that's enough. Dosunmu, probably not. 8 points, 2 assists, 2 threes. I'd still rather Lonzo, I think, in most situations there. All right, Lakers at Golden State. 3 more games to go. Lakers get the win, 118-108. Unsurprisingly, dominant performance by Anthony Davis, 36-13, 3 steals and 1 block. Basically playing a Golden State team that doesn't have a center. Trayce Jackson-Davis obviously is their starting center, but he is undersized in a matchup like this against a player, Anthony Davis, who doesn't even want to play center. So there you go. The amount of airtime this interview with Shams about the Lakers wanting pieces to win, and God, I'm sick of seeing it. Who cares? It's just because it's the Lakers. I mean, if this was any other team, wouldn't be on Twitter and social media. So whatever, let's move on. LeBron was good. Austin Reeves was solid. Max Christie, 11-8. Numbers weren't great here, but he did a great job on Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry was held scoreless in the second half, and a lot of that was Max Christie, so very good to see. Gabe Vincent, also a very tenacious defender, not a fantasy asset. Jared Vanderbilt, 12 minutes, 3 steals. I think he's just going to be a steals and potentially a rebound streamer. But you can't count on him getting 3 steals in 12 minutes. So he would need to get to 20-ish, I think, to be considered a viable streamer or a reliable streamer. At the moment, it would be very, very fluky if he was to go out and get 3 steals in 12 minutes again. For the Warriors, talked about Trayce Jackson-Davis. He started, but he played 14 minutes. I think we can drop him. His minutes are up and down. I'm fine to move on from him. Steph Curry, we're seeing those cracks. We've been talking about it all season. 13 points, 9 assists, 2 steals, but 4 of 17 from the line and from the field. And like I said, held scoreless in the second half. So he's just not the guy that he once was. And the Warriors' time to potentially build around him to win a title is running out, maybe even quicker than they think. Podziemski had 17 off the bench. again, this is a lot of mouths to feed here in Golden State. Quinton Post had 8 and 3 in his 23 minutes. Schroeder played 22. Moses Moody, 21. Guy Santos, 20. I'm probably not targeting any of them, to be honest. Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins are probably the only two we need to be holding. Everyone else should be viewed as a streamer. Washington at Phoenix. Kyle Kuzma, 30 points. He came out and he talked in the post game about the fact that he went away from, I guess, what the team was trying to do and just focused more on himself and playing his natural game. And surprise, surprise, they lost when he did that. But the numbers are there, and this is what we thought he would do all year. He just hasn't been doing it. So great night for him. 30 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Jordan Poole had 6 steals to go with 19 points, 10 assists. Koulibaly had 12, 4, and 4 with a block. He's a pretty clear hold. Keyshawn George is, yeah, look, he's not, I don't think. He did start this one over Bub Carrington. If they are going to do this, if they're going to chop and change, part of this was, I think, just matchup based, or I don't know, but if Bub's role is not 33 minutes a night, then he doesn't have to be rostered. We can move on from him. Valanciunas had 16 points with 4 rebounds in his 17 minutes. Just a streamer, I think, at this point. For Phoenix, let's start with the man in the middle, Nick Richards. 20 points, 19 rebounds, 1 block. Look, it's obviously a nice matchup coming up against Washington. But the numbers are there. 19 rebounds, career high, potentially. I haven't checked that, but it'd have to be close. Pick and rolls, like he looks to be adjusting quite well to the offense. This is obviously, I said, a very favorable matchup. So you do have to walk away with a bit of skepticism, but still great. If you manage to pick him up when the trade happened, you're pretty happy with what we've had so far. Ryan Dunn left after only 2 minutes. He rolled his ankle. He tried to play through it, but alas, he could not. That would probably tell me he is going to miss time here. So who do we get? Do they move Bradley Beal back into the starting lineup? I doubt it. It will probably be a little bit matchup dependent. If they're playing a guard-heavy team, then maybe we do get Beal. Grayson Allen could come in as a way of spacing the floor. Or we could get Royce O'Neal. He can sort of play as a secondary ball handler. He's a good rebounder. So I don't know. If Dunn is out, Beal should be rostered anywhere, everywhere anyway. Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, I think whoever starts, they both will play a bit more. So I think both could be some nice short-term stream/add options. And the last game of the night. The Bucks and the Clippers. This one was pretty close the whole way, but the Clippers pulled away late, 127-117. Giannis played. Chris Middleton played. Well, he turned up. Good night for Giannis. Good night for Dame. Torian Prince, he popped for 14 points. We're not adding Torian Prince. Brook Lopez had 13 points with 3 blocks. This is sort of who he is now. He gets you the blocks fairly consistently, and his points are around 12, 13 a night. That's about it. Upside is pretty limited now with him. Gary Trent had 5 threes off the bench. Chris Middleton, well, yeah, he had 4 rebounds and an assist, and then he had a big fat donut there, 0 points on 0 of 4 shooting. He's probably a hold, but it's really borderline. If he was sitting on my waiver wire in a standard league, I don't know if I'd add him, to be fair. He's feeling very Klay Thompson-y, where he'll have little stretches and then he sort of falls off like this. And yeah, I'd have him over Klay, but it's pretty close. And for the Clippers, Derek Jones cooled off finally. I think he's okay as a back end hold if you want to. Kawhi, probably his best game. Still nowhere near what we want, but 18 points, 4 assists, 24 minutes. So he's still very mid in terms of playing time, but we just hold him and hope that it keeps trending upwards. Norm Powell, another strong game for him, 33 points, six rebounds and two blocks randomly. Harden had 40 points, nine assists, so vintage performance from him. And when they're healthy like this, we can't really touch the bench. There isn't enough usage to go around for those guys to have any sustainable value, I don't think. All right, let's get into questions. How long have we been going? Okay, 50 minutes. All right, we'll start with Joseph Kim. Dropped Harris out of frustration and picked up Krejci. Was that a bad move? Tobias Harris, I'm assuming you mean. You still have Scoot on your roster. Yeah, look, I would be holding Scoot. Krejci over Tobias Harris, based on today, yes. Yeah, I think this Jalen Johnson injury is going to determine what we do with Krejci long-term. But I think for now it's sort of okay. Tobias Harris has been, he's been fine, but not fantastic. And Cade's obviously playing really well. Assar is starting to ramp up a bit. They've got Tim Hardaway. They've got Malik Beasley. So Harris just doesn't have to do a lot. So I don't think that's terrible. You also have Sohan on the waiver wire. Do I prefer him over Scoot, Krejci, Richards, or Harris? Look, honestly, Harris might be the least appealing of that four. I'd have Richards over him because we saw today he's going to get rebounds. He's going to score efficiently. And of all the names here, he is the shot blocker. He's the rim protector, so he will get you those big man stats. Scoot, I've climbed aboard the Scoot train. I'm going to have to stay on it for now. And Krejci, well, you know that I love Krejci, so I was very excited about his performance today. So it might be Harris. All right, what's Josh saying? So this is what he said about Amin on Basketball Monster. When I say sell high, it's at the very tippy top of his value. Otherwise, just enjoy it. Yeah, and that's with one of these guys that's unproven. This is pretty common. If you could move him for a top 30 player, I'd probably do it. But no one's going to give you a top 30 player. No one's going to give you a second rounder for Amin Thompson, I don't think. So what do I think he's projected in a points league? Top 60, potentially. He's typically pretty efficient. Free throws are not great, but they're not terrible. He gets assists, he gets rebounds. Points have been decent enough, and he's a good defender. So, yeah, I think so. Should we be worried about Curry, Trey, Giddy, Booker, or Murphy? Look, Curry, I mean, I don't have Curry anywhere. I didn't want to draft him this year. I was a bit concerned. We saw some signs last season. Trey, no, I'm not too worried. He never shoots the ball particularly well anyway. Booker, no. Murphy, no. Giddy, Giddy's up and down, but he has the floor of the assists and the rebounds. Chinchilla, is it worth trading on Onyeka, Vassell, or Hartenstein for a men? Feels like a buy low every night. 10-team points league. Well, I mean, you could make a case that Amin has higher upside than all three of those guys. It does sound like Jabari Smith is not close, so I don't think we're getting him back before the All-Star break, which we assumed anyway. In a points league. And what, you're looking to trade. Okay, Onyeka Okongwu, Vassell, or Hartenstein. Hartenstein's back tomorrow, so we're going to get a look at him tomorrow. I don't know. I'd consider, I guess, trading Vassell for him. I probably wouldn't trade Okongwu at this point. Maybe I would. I don't know. I mean, Yeah, they're all pretty close, I think. Like, I think they're all probably within two rounds of each other. So I think you could, in a points league, it probably won't make a huge difference. But it might be, if I had to pick one to trade, it's probably Vassell. Ernest, need help ranking the following waiver wire guys for a standard league punt field goal percentage team. Beasley, Krejci, Hawkins, Oubre, Keontae, Nets. Punting field goal percentage. I'd have Hawkins last. First would be, I think if you're looking for across the board stuff, probably have Oubre. See, Keontae is the tricky one. To me, he could be first on this list, but based on what, like, we just don't know what his role is at the moment. It's weird. I might go Oubre, Keontae, Krejci, Beasley, Nance, Hawkins. Okay, Ryan has a question. You were offered Monk for Hartenstein. Should I take it? Worried Monk is a sell high or goes back to the bench. He won't go back to the bench. I can pretty much guarantee that. So he's 35 fantasy points per game, 44 fantasy points over the last month. Hartenstein is 37 points forever. I don't know if Monk is a sell high. I don't know. I might take Monk there, maybe. Hartenstein, I still sort of have in that top 50 to 60 range. I think Monk could be around better, maybe. Yeah, I think that's probably okay. Would I rather have Pods or Io? Good one, Yardship. Who would I rather have? Probably Io Desunmu. I just think, at least for the next week, I think his path to minutes, we saw him play 28 today. Pods was good today, but in the next game, he might play 15. So I'd probably go with the safety of Io Desunmu. What kind of per-game production do I see from Nick Smith? Will he be a good points league guy? I don't think he'll be great. I think he'll be a must-roster player, but I don't see his upside as being a top 50 player for your league or anything like that. Chad says Ron Holland gets intriguing for this week. With the injuries and stuff. Yeah, look, he's someone to keep an eye on. Kelly Daniel Tan, dropping Ellis or Claxton for Jonas Valanciunas. I wouldn't drop Claxton, I don't think. He's still sort of starting and playing 25, 28 minutes. So I'd probably hold Claxton. I might drop Ellis. It depends. Do you need steals or rebounds? They're both playing sort of 18 minutes a night. If you need big man stats, I'd go Jonas. If you need steals, I'd go Ellis. Who's the better injury replacement? Add Larry Nance or Hawkins? In New Orleans. It might be Nance just. Yeah, look, let's go Nance. Okay, and then you've added to that one. Larry Nance, Hawkins, or Collier. Nance or Collier, I think. If we knew he was going to get 30 minutes a game, I'd go Collier. So maybe you take a chance on him. He'll be up and down, but he gets assists and he gets steals. Chad, are we nearing a point where it might be if and not when IQ will come back? Yeah, look, I mean, the more games we go without him, we have to ask that question. I don't think we're there yet. Yeah, I don't think we're there yet. We might get there. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets re-injured after the All-Star break, then we get to that point. But as of now, I don't think so. Is Tobias Harris a drop in a 10-team, 9-cat league from P-Dub? Yeah, he might be. He might be. What have we got? Comments about the coaches. Yes, we know how bad some of these coaches are. Sorry, I'm just jumping over comments and getting to questions so that I can go and help with the food prep for the night. Yeah, look, Chad's right, and Anthony Davis talking about the fact that they need another big man. I don't argue with that. Like, I certainly think they need an alternative and an option. What my issue is Anthony Davis not wanting to play center. That and he has said that, and I don't think that's right because he plays very well at center. If they were to play him at the four, they would need a floor spacing big, I think, because Anthony Davis does not space the floor. He can shoot threes, but we've seen when he tries to shoot more threes, his percentages go down. He's less impactful. So, yeah, look, I absolutely think that they should try and get a centre, but not as a fill-in for him to allow him to play four. That would be my issue, I think, is if they just moved AD to the four. And unless the centre was a floor spacer, and I just don't know who they're going to be able to get that is a reliable floor spacing, impactful centre, you could get like a Chris Boucher, but he's not the guy that you need, I don't think. Should I add Kuzma and drop Scoot, or will they rest Kuzma down the line? Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think Kuzma will be in Washington when we're talking in 3 weeks. So, yeah, you could. I mean, I know in your league you're sort of looking at anyone outside the top 50 as expendable. So you really need to get more players, more league teams in your league because the 17 league, yeah, it's pretty rough. Alex, is it worth trading for LaVine or Giddy in the event LaVine gets traded? Rumor is to the Bucks. Yeah, there's rumors change every day, don't they? Surely their value both go up if the trade happens. Giddy, yes. LaVine, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, playing alongside Dame and Giannis, you could argue he will be third option, maybe second. If they're trading for him, the Bucks, they will be bringing him in to play, obviously, a very significant role. But I just don't see his production going up. He is the first option, maybe the second in Chicago at the moment. So, yeah, look, Giddy, potentially. But I don't think LaVine is sort of a buy low as a result of any trades or anything like that. What else have we got? Chad's Nick Richards is better than Mark Williams take is looking viable. And it was a career high in rebounds. Okay, good. Good to see. Is he better? I still don't think he's better than Mark Williams. But, yeah, look, he was very good today. I certainly don't think that the difference between the two players is significant. I think Williams is better, but I don't think it's – in Charlotte, it was sort of – I know some of the opinion was that Richards is just filling in. There's no way he starts. He shouldn't be playing minutes. I don't think that was the case. I think he is better than people give him credit for. So Chad, this is about the Suns rotation. Dunn will miss time, I think. Move Grayson Allen in. Yeah, look, they could do that. Middleton might just be washed. Very true, very true. Ryan, another trade question. You were offered Barnes for Jay Will. Should you take it? I'd be okay. If there's only a point difference. I think if we get to March and into April. Oh, sorry, your playoffs end March 23rd. So, yeah, but yeah, I'd be okay with that, I think. Shining Knight, incredibly sad if Jalen Johnson has a long-term. Yes, it will be very, very sad. I have him in, I think I only have him in dynasty leagues, maybe. Couple. So, yeah, it hurts me this season. Asar time in Detroit. Yeah, look, could be. Could be. 30 minutes tonight, 29. So it appears he's through that reconditioning phase. So that's good to see. Asar or Krejci Scoot? I'm assuming this is Asar or Krejci or Scoot, not Asar or Krejci and Scoot. So who would I rather out of that trio? Yeah, it's tough. I might go, I think they're all 12-team assets at the moment. Who would I take first? That's really hard. Probably Krejci I'd go last, just because he's a little unproven. First, I'd probably go, maybe it's Asar at the moment. Asar or Scoot over Krejci slightly, but it is very, it could come down to just what stats do you need. Do you need assists? It's probably Scoot. If you need defensive stats, rebounds, it's probably Asar. And then Krejci sort of does a bit on both ends. Have I ever heard of a place called Alice Springs? I have heard of a place called Alice Springs. I have not been there. My wife has been there. It's right in the middle of Australia, basically. So, yes, I have not. Most dangerous city town. Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know why it would be, whether it's dangerous because of the wildlife. As I said, it's in the middle of Australia, so it's in the middle of the desert. So a lot of snakes, that sort of thing. Shining Knight, for what it's worth, you drop Tobias in the Levington. Oh, okay, yep. Yeah, okay, so you drop Tobias in an 11 team and he is still available on waivers. So that tells you, yeah, he's a little bit like Middleton. If he was available in my waivers in a 12 team, would I add him? It would depend what my roster looked like. If I was a pretty competitive team, I don't think I'd need him. P-Dub, should you pick up Krejci instead? Oh, so this is relating to the Tobias Harris question from earlier, I would assume. So would I have Krejci over Tobias Harris? Yeah, I think I would. I think I'd take a flyer. Oh, gang violence in Alice Springs. Yeah, there could be. I don't know. It's, like I said, it's far, far, far away from me. It's like 2 days' drive, so not anywhere that I've been. And is Asar a good points league sleeper? Look, he is. Probably not in your league, but in standard kind of points leagues, I think he could be. All right, we're done. A lot of games. Man, that was a lot of games. And you all need to go and get a beer or a coffee or go to bed or whatever you're doing. I need to go and cook some dinner and eat some dinner and watch the tennis final tonight. I will be back with a pre-game show tomorrow. There's only one game. It's not until 6 p.m., I think, is tip-off. So there'll be a pre-game show, but it won't be super early. I will do it just before that, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm going to watch some of the NFL, I think. But there will definitely be a show. There will be a post-game show, but again, one game. It'll be nice and quick. I might even be able to hit up someone and see if we can do a mailbag show tomorrow or something. What's it, Sunday in the US? Yeah, maybe. We'll see how I go. But that'll do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Please go and download. As I said, go and pre-like the trade deadline show that Dan and I and David Williams will be hosting. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.